If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine bliss and truth of the absolute all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening our seminar topic is Reality is Truth and Bliss. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow the truth and the bliss to simply be present. Just acknowledge that that is who you really are. That is the reality in which we live and move and have our being. And if you just bring that awareness forward every time, you'll lose track. It's as simple as breathing in and breathing out. Every complexity that we experience in life comes about by the effort to be something that we're not. The effort to try to make something real that doesn't exist. Be aware of that. Be aware that all pain is looking away from the bliss that is. It's losing awareness of the truth that is. So can you just allow yourself to be? Can you be your natural self? Not your inner child or your inner teenager? Or your conditioned concept of yourself with its present name and role play and outer appearance? Can you sort of let those fall aside as if you were an actor that had played a role and now it's time to go home and you're taking off your costume and your makeup, and you're returning to your natural self? It's just like that. As we begin to let go the layers and layers of assumed identities and simply allow the truth and the bliss of our inner self to surface and emerge. It's not something you have to go looking for. It's something that naturally arises in your awareness as soon as you just let yourself be. Please know that nothing is attained by human effort. Human effort itself, the whole concept of being a human, is flawed because it's not absolute truth. Why? Because a human being seems to be born and appears to die. It changes from year to year. It waxes and wanes and eventually corrupts and decays. So that can't be truth. Truth, to be truth, satyam, sat, must be beyond modification and change. Absolute truth could never be relative. We're fond today of saying, well, each person has their own truth, and I'm following my truth. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's New Age mumbo-jumbo, or psychological mumbo-jumbo, but mumbo-jumbo nevertheless. Truth, in the sense in which we're referring to it here, is the absolute divine principle. That which upholds and sustains and protects the entire cosmos. And bliss is truth's radiance. You'll notice that the face of a person immersed in bliss radiates divine glory. I have yet to see anyone in a transcendental state that isn't radiant. Their faces glow. That is the evidence of bliss. So to be true in the absolute sense, truth must remain unchanged in all times and conditions. So relative truth is actually the ego mind's defense against absolute reality, into which it would simply dissolve like fog in the sunlight. So the entire cosmos has emerged from truth and the bliss of the absolute. It's a manifestation of the bliss of being love, the bliss of extending love, the bliss of dreaming the many so that love could be experienced in a myriad of manifestations. And that appearance of multiplicity is called the lila, the play of the divine. It's not really real, but it is the dream of God, you might say. The dream of becoming the many for the purpose of experiencing its own love bestowed and returned. So all of the cosmos emerged from satyam, truth, and shall merge back into truth. And bliss is that carrier. Bliss and the primordial shabd or sound current are one and the same. Bliss is the song of God. Bliss is the radiance of the cosmic heart. It is the heart song that is calling like the enchanting flute of the Pied Piper, calling its many selves back into oneness. It is so intoxicating in a good way when you're able to connect with the bliss of the throbbing heart song of God. It wells up from your innermost being like a fountain of ever-replenishing grace and gracious self-bestowal. It causes one to lose sight of all the illusion and to soar in an inner state that is timeless. It never wears out. When you're in that blissful state, you just know no fatigue. Fatigue comes from the mental polarizations that pull and drag the consciousness from side to side, as it were, amidst the pairs of opposites, seeming opposites. And as one moves through that time-space gauntlet, fatigue is the process. You feel exhausted. But what is it that is exhausted? Is the mind's capacity to host endless distraction. It is only in that abiding bliss of truth itself and reality that one never tires, that there is a sense of continual regeneration. It's where the flesh regenerates from corruptibility into immortal life, which is the truth of your being. You are the very absolute principle with all its radiance. That is the nature of each one of your cells. Each strand of your DNA is divine. And so as we awaken from the dream of declination and disease and death and the darkness of ignorance of self, we find that the very cells of the body begin to regenerate. Not that we absolutely have to do that in the mortal flesh, because in truth there is no mortal flesh. There is simply immortal light that has become mixed in with misidentification, which arises from wrong thinking. It is a mixture of spirit with conditioned mind that causes the sense of darkness and ignorance to appear temporarily. And that is all. So as you purify the mind, and it becomes illumined by constantly dwelling upon truth and course correcting whenever the mind is drawn into distraction, you'll find that you're walking beyond the earth. You're living in a transcendental state. You are a Jivan Mukta, a soul liberated though still living in the world. You are in the world, but you're not of the world. And you observe the shenanigans taking place in time and space from a position in the balcony of your life. You don't pay it much mind. You give it only as much attention as is necessary to fulfill your duties in all righteousness, with integrity, and great love. But you learn to surrender the fruits of your actions. You don't care much. Success or failure is in the hands of the Lord, governed by your own karma. It's not really for you to decide. You may think something is a success when in truth it simply vaunted and exalted your ego even more. You may think something is a failure, but in fact, it was a doorway to light for someone. You are not in a position to judge. We can but offer our actions at the feet of the beloved. In so doing, you step free of karma. For the karma rests with one who believes they are the actor. So take no authorship for your acting. Know that eternal being breathes you, thinks you, animates you, loves through you, serves through you, walks through you, gives you your very life's breath. Take no authorship for the beating of your heart, the breathing of your lungs, the acting of your bodily instrument. the innocent of doership, and you will reside in truth and bliss. For of yourself you do nothing. That which is greater lives in you as you through you. That is all. So to experience one's own reality, what one actually is forever and always, doesn't require anything but the willingness, the complete attention, intention, and attention to returning the mind to truth whenever it wanders. What causes this wandering? The eyes are ever hungry. What the eyes rest upon without any kind of self-direction tends to draw attraction. It agitates the mind. That agitation of the mind leads to a variety of actions, which, when they emanate from the mind, emanate from the ego, and thus create more bondage. So that's why discrimination and discernment between the real and the unreal, the temporary and passing and the eternal absolute, is so necessary. That is the path of the spiritual warrior. You're always vigilant for the things of the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is within you. It is nowhere else. You yourself must liberate yourself, because no one but you believed in the binding of the self. It's not a reality, it's a belief that you're bound. You're like a person that has put shackles on your own ankles, that is sitting before an unlocked prison cell, and the shackles aren't even attached to any balls or walls, and yet you sit there. Why? Who told you you were bound? Who told you you were not God? Who told you you were not liberated? Who told you that you didn't know? Who told you that? Your mind, that father of all lies, that looked away from the face of the all that is and fell in love with its own reflection in time-space. Question these thoughts that go through your mind. You don't have to stand up and salute every thought that passes through your mind. Nearly every single thought is a lie. Everything you hear when you turn on the news, when you watch the television, when you see the outer behaviors in the world, it's all a big nonsense. All of it, every bit of it. What is the proof of what I've just said? Where do you see people radiant with bliss? Where? Do you see this depicted on television? No. What is usually shown on television are imaginary characters destroying, harming, and creating criminal acts, or perpetrating, I should say, not creating, but perpetrating criminal acts upon one another, inflicting harm. That's a big nonsense, because nothing can touch who you are. Nothing can touch truth or the bliss of reality. But if you keep feeding your mind with those images and those vibratory states of consciousness, it will distract you from the bliss that is. You will get into the mood of the world. And it is a mood-making. It's a mood-making world because people like that adrenaline rush at the sacrifice of bliss. So what do you want? An adrenaline rush or eternal bliss? Do you want to entrain, do something that's going to break your heart, disappoint you, leave you, and destroy that radiance that is the inner scaffolding of your bodies of light? Your true habitation is the Anandamaya Kosha, the bliss body. The bliss body, which is made of radiant luminosity, as delicate and as ephemeral as a spider's web, as a crystalline spider's web, that is constructed very carefully over lifetimes in the illusion in which you have chosen to remember God. You have chosen to remember truth. You have chosen to abide, even if so fleetingly, in Ananda. That has formed the warp and woof of your divine garment that is immortal, that is resurrected and ascended, ever pure, ever radiant, ever free. Whereas the illusory form, the Maya Virupa, the illusion, is made in the warp and woof of ignorance, of mind-generated ignorance, the warp and woof of desire. And desire can only arise out of a sense of lack. How can that which is ever full, ever perfect, ever free, that is ever-present, all-knowing, all-powerful, how could that which is you have lack or need or limitation? How? So every time you put that powerful mantra, I, and attach it to some lack, some need, some want, some dear God, please, kind of prayer, you are simply fortifying more and more of the ego. Let's hear what Sai Baba has to say about this state in which most of us find ourselves. To experience his own reality, what he already is, man is undertaking several spiritual practices, sadhanas. All such practices undertaken for seeking the self are activities in which man engages himself during the state of ignorance. How could you do a spiritual practice if you didn't think that you were separate from your own spirit and that you needed practicing to be yourself? You see what I'm saying? So the whole intention to work on yourself, to fix yourself, to overcome your whatevers, arises from a state of ignorance. So we're back to Sai Baba again. And all of these sadhanas are merely for his mental satisfaction. They will only serve the purpose of strengthening the mind instead of destroying it. If you want to do spiritual practices, sadhana, the only right approach to it is to dispel the false notion of the non-self. If you pursue all sorts of so-called spiritual exercises to attain self-realization and liberation, what does it indicate other than your own mental aberrations, hallucinations, and delusions? It is important to recognize that as long as the mind is there, desires will not leave you. As long as you have desires, the false notion of I and mine will not leave you. As long as the feeling of I and mine is there, your wrong identification with a body will not leave you. As long as body consciousness does not leave you, ignorance will not leave you. In effect, it means that there is no way other than the annihilation of the mind to attain knowledge of the self, vision of the self, or the bliss of the self. All these spiritual sadhanas will only serve the purpose of quieting the mind. The quieted mind may again become agitated. What is important is to get rid of the mind by understanding its true nature. Because of his identification with his body, man is helplessly tossed hither and thither in various ways by his ego. I am doing this. I am enjoying that. I have conquered this. Thus saying to himself, man is lending strength day by day to his sense of doership. Remember that success and failure do not depend on your efforts or sadhana or spiritual exercises or any other activities. You are simply inflating your ego, deluding yourself that you have been able to achieve things by your own effort. Look around and see where the best of efforts. Have not been crowned with success. While with little or no effort, victory has come unsought in the case of many others. Do not get frustrated when your own efforts have not been crowned with success. With little or no effort, you can win success by dedicating all of your activities to the divine, considering them as the Lord's work, and undertaking them with unwavering faith in God. Have the firm conviction that nothing happens due to human effort. Are you able to live because you want to live, or die because you want to die? If you ponder deeply along these lines of thought, you will discover that your feelings of I and mine are being unduly fostered by your false sense of doership and enjoyership. The body-mind is temporary, but you are not mortal. You are Atma, 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 the eternal self, the eternal witness. By constantly remembering that self, all is done. One who has forgotten himself cannot properly recognize the truth. When you yourselves are the Atma, how can you recognize it? By praying to some other being or doing any other spiritual practice. Because the one has become many, you have developed a liking for the diversity, forgetting the unity. All these things that you see around you are your own reflections, as if in a mirror. Leaving the actual object, you are running after the reflected images. Your own delusion is binding you hand and foot. One who is bound by delusion cannot reach God. As long as you think there is anything different from you, you are submerged in ignorance. There is nothing in the universe other than you, or higher than you. To think otherwise, or to try to prove otherwise, is only mental delusion, resembling a dream. In your dream, you see many sights and experience various things. But for how long are they real? Only as long as your dream lasts. When the dream ends, they are all unreal. And with full illumination, the dream and all of this cosmos simply vanishes into the bliss and truth of that which is. So there you have the teaching of God in the form of a full avatar. And therefore you have pure truth delivered as the exact medicine that mankind in this particular age and stage of the Kali Yuga, of the densest darkness and ignorance, it's the medicine that is required. Sai Baba has said that in previous ages, evil could be identified in one or more individuals, and the divine avatar would come and do warfare and would slay those that were the embodiments of evil. And in that dream enactment, that leela of the slaying of the evildoers, they were released from their evil forms and given the grace of awakening in that form. So even the role play actually doesn't matter to God. Whether one is cast in the role of a demon, or one is cast in the role of an angel, or one is cast as a sinner or a saint, makes no difference. Play your role well. Play your role well. And realize it's all role play. But in this time, because Sai Baba has said that all are tainted with wickedness, there is no one who is wholly good. All are tainted with ego, which is the same thing as saying wickedness. Wicked meaning crooked, wayward, out of alignment. That if the divine avatar came and decided to uproot, nobody would survive. So instead, the avatar comes to correct the buddhi, the intelligence principle, by various means. So that the words, the discourses, the teaching, the interaction with the divine, whether in dream or awake or going actually where there is such an enlightened one, or in my case, having gone many times to be with Satya Sai Baba, but know that all avatars are one. They're all one. So whether you follow Ama or Karunamayi or Satya Sai or Rama or Krishna or Babaji or Yogananda or Sri Aurobindo and the Sweet Mother, whoever you have followed, or Sri Ramakrishna, all of those avatars are one and the same, or Babaji, or Guru Nanak, or Lahira Mahashaya, or Sri Yukteswar. They're all avatars. All of those are embodiments of that self-same divinity, that self-same truth and bliss. Or Sri Ananda Moima. All avatars, all, everyone. In the ultimate sense of the word, we're all avatars because every soul has come down from a higher state embodying divinity. The difference is some are given the job assignment of consciously embodying divinity, whereas others are in that process of awakening to that divinity. That's the only difference. It's a time-space, illusory differentiation. Because in highest truth, everyone is the self-same Atma, the self-same spirit. The self-same spirit. So where do the spiritual travelers fit in this, since I've just spoken of avatars? A spiritual traveler is also a form of avatar. It's an embodiment that comes with the keys of conscious soul transcendence that can come and reconnect the soul back consciously through initiation with that divine inner sound current of bliss and enable the mind to become entrained in that mantra, in that tone, in that bliss, and ride it back into the heart of the all that is. And the travelers stand in a lineage to work with those souls that are ready for that homeward journey. And not all souls are. Some souls are here to gain more experience and more training and go through more things in the physical realm, or the physical, astral, causal, mental, and etheric realms, which are all beneath the absolute. They're all in those realms of duality. And there are myriads of universes and planetary systems and star realms and interdimensional realms that are part of that training in the lower levels of duality and polarity. So it's not enough to get off the planet Earth. You really have to have someone who can serve as an inner guide and an outer guide, hopefully, because we need that constant returning our awareness back to truth. And while it is possible to return without any assistance, my teacher has said that in all the universes he's visited, he's only found 14 souls who actually were able to do that. So that's the value, you see, for temporarily having a belief that you're returning along a path with a way shower. But until you know how to drive the car and navigate the terrain, you're going to need a guide that's a little more experienced within the dream. And it is a dream. Could we awaken without any assistance? Sai Baba said that sometimes a nightmare gets so intense that there is a spontaneous awakening. But the better path is the path of love and devotion and service. So do your spiritual exercises, but realize that they're really mind candy and entertainment for the separated self until you begin to contemplate who you really are. When you know that you are the light, when you know that you're the living word, when you know you are the divine beloved, then perhaps those things aren't necessary. But you can fall. As long as you're in a body operating through a human mind, mental construct, there is the danger of losing that awareness. And it is the mind that draws you back into reincarnations. It's the mind. Because if you have the slightest desire, you have to have it fulfilled. That's the, you know, you are the divine creator itself. And whatever you desire must come to you. But the karma isn't always arranged for that to come to you in this particular life. So if you absolutely must have that man or that woman or that house or that car or even that pair of shoes and you don't have any way to purchase it in this life, guess what? You will have them, but you're going to have to come back to the physical dimension where you can have them. Some people keep praying to win the lottery. Don't do that. It may not be your karma to win the lottery. You may have to come back in order to play the lottery. Don't bind yourself to commitments in time and space. Don't commit your life to things that will not get you off the planet and out of these lower realms entirely. The only thing worth committing yourself to is the presence of the living God that dwells within you. If you're loyal to that, committed to that, true to that, if that, and knowing that, is the number one priority of your life, and you make everything else in your life stand down, this alone I must have. This alone, that I would awaken and know myself as the divine beloved, that I would be that pure heart, that pure mind that sees only the one, only the divine, within and without. And so, there is a definite discipline that has to be exercised here if you would see the face of God. My teacher always says that to see the face of God, You must first find it and see it in your own face. And if you see it in your own face, you'll see it everywhere you look. Do an open-eye meditation with yourself sometime in front of a mirror. Use your own eyes as dimensional portals to enter into the kingdom of heaven within yourself. Do whatever you can think of doing to give yourself an experience of your absolute beingness. What is bliss but the experience of your own immortal beingness? The divine transcendental mind, which we could call awareness, has infinite expansion, potential to expand. But when it's focalized into the level of thought, it doesn't soar. It's earthbound. It's bogged down in the phenomenal, in what's happening in time, space, or to them. Now there's a them when you're operating out of the ego. So the mind is also made up of the food that you eat. And the food that you consume isn't just the food on your dinner plate. It's everything that you intake through your senses. So the only way you're going to be able to purify your mind and forget about worrying about chemtrails and GMO and all of that nonsense is to take whatever you do, whatever you drink, whatever you consume, every action and everything you receive into your biosphere and offer it to God. Sai Baba said that whatever you offer to God is rendered pure. That's the only way you're going to have pure food, pure water, pure air, and consequently pure thoughts that are capable of rising into that higher state of transcendental bliss. So the mind is like a series of dark storm clouds constantly passing before the radiance of the sun that you are. Doesn't affect the sun, but it blocks the awareness from the awareness of that inner sun. So the price of experiencing bliss is learning how to train the mind to hold steady long enough to repeat the mantra that you're given by your teacher until it becomes entrained in the vibration of the mantra, which is a much higher frequency than the lower density of the thoughts, the conditioned karmic field of your thoughts. It becomes homogenized, if you will, mixed in with the mantra, which is mixed in with the divine sound current, which is mixed in to the bliss and the truth of that which is. And in that state, it becomes the carrier wave that lifts the frequency fields of your conditioned levels into the absolute pure state of unconditioned truth. And the proof is that your mind becomes stilled and rests in the bliss of God. There is a point when it just gives up. It's exhausted. And it becomes completely absorbed in the higher frequency. And you don't need to do anything but keep chanting your mantra. Keep focusing on the truth. Keep soaring in that inner bliss. Keep reminding yourself, God alone is real, and I am one with God. That's the only thought you need to hang your hat on. It's the only thought. Nothing else needs to be done. And then Whatever you do with your hands, whatever you do with your mind, whatever you do with your body, whatever you do in your day-to-day activities, dedicate it for the happiness, the peace, and the well-being of all life. Live with such a universal spirit of expanded love, of genuine agape love, genuine prema, that you look fondly and with kindliness upon every man, woman, and child, whatever their state or outer role and appearance. Be kind. Speak softly and sweetly, with reverence and kindness and respect, no matter who you are addressing. Bless them with the blissful radiance of your smile. Or silently send them the radiance of your heart, your caring, your love. You will be one of the walking liberated, one of the saints of this latter-day period. And your name will be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life is another metaphor for your Anandamaya Kosha, your bliss body, or the Holy Grail. You yourself are the Holy Grail. The divine life is the Camelot. You are the Virgin Mary that conceives the living Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are all of it. You have always been all of it. To think otherwise is self-deception. And none of you really wants to be deceived. People so often say, "I only want the truth." Beloved, you are the truth. It's not something to want. Let go of the wanting, let go of the ego demanding, and be truth. That is simple. That is sahaja. That is uncomplicated. But the minute you mix it with mind, you've mixed it with deception. You've mixed it with ego. And the ego is a sense of separate identity. That's a sense of unworthiness. Or superiority, two sides of the same coin. The ego can be prideful and vainglorious, conceited, or it can grovel like a lowly sinner and worm. Both are self-deception. Both are worthless. Both will not give you what you truly want, which to rest in God is a planet rest in space, the sense of absolute security, absolute being. That's the truth. Everything else is a poor translation, a distortion field. If only you can open your eyes beyond the world and look into the face of God. You have the power to do that. If you will. So the absence of thought has been called in Sanskrit vikalpa. And the mind, because of its extreme subtlety, is capable of immense expansion. But only because of the senses, the mind is distracted and attracted to a variety of objects and persons. And when these objects occupy the mind, its expansiveness is restricted and curtailed. So it's only when the attraction of these objects is reduced that the mind can experience this expansive state. Eckhart Tolle calls it spacious presence, spaciousness. So practice that a lot, spaciousness. The Buddhist teachings are very, very good to understand that. state of spacious awareness. And Eckhart Tolle is a consummate master in articulating that state. So find the soul food that you need, that which gives you a slightly different way of looking at the same thing. Sometimes you need to walk around something and look at it from a different angle to get a sense of it. So if the approach of direct is not working for you, take a little mosey around on the other side and look at it from a different lens of reality, a different lens of perception, a different lens of teaching or manner of expression. Do whatever it takes to jiggle that combination lock that will open you to the treasures of the kingdom within you. Be bold. Do whatever it takes. You know, you'll be guided. That inner master, which is the only master, that self-same beloved that dwells in every heart, has a curriculum that's perfect for you, has a scripture already inscribed in every cell of your DNA, which is the living word for you, spoken into your mind, spoken into your heart, by the truth within you, the spirit of truth within you, the voice for God within you, the Holy Spirit. Listen. Listen. You always know what you need to do. You always do. Don't kid yourself into thinking you don't know. That's more of that nonsense. Don't deceive yourself and mislead yourself thereby. Have the courage to look at that which is, boldly. Take responsibility for the states that you host and entertain and allow to resonate in your field. Take responsibility for what you take into your life, your mind, your environment, your mouth, what goes in and goes out of your mouth. Pay attention to all of it. Pay attention to what you allow your eyes to rest upon. Your eyes have been called gates. Your eye gates are portals into the Holy of Holies within you. Be aware. Everything's energy. Everything's vibration. Everything has God in it. But in these lower worlds, it's also mixed with deception and illusion. Mahamaya dances. And you have to learn to discern. Just like the Lord Buddha before he attained ultimate enlightenment, all of the daughters of the devil came to dance before him, to beguile him and trick him and see if they could mislead him. And then the embodiment of his ego, his false self, appeared before him to distract him, beguile him. So that inner tempter will manifest as outer temptations and tempters and temptresses. Be aware. Be aware. You can't go to sleep if you want to awaken into immortal truth. You have to pay attention. Every moment, every day, is an opportunity to return your awareness to absolute truth and immortal bliss. And the choice is left up to you. When? But your awakening is absolutely predestined and certain. You will awaken and find in highest truth you have never left the heart of God. So, I I think we'll close tonight with a mantra, which is a very good one, to balance the inner and outer states of consciousness. It is the one you utter with every breath. It's called the soul hum, which is simply to say, I am. And the soul hum, at the last breath of realization, becomes the primordial word, the Om, or you, which is a variation of that primordial word. So let's take a deep breath. So, all the worlds and all the beings of all the worlds awaken to truth and immortal bliss. May all have peace. May all experience the divine. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord.